Welcome to the Akigawa Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We hope this resource will help you in your walk with Jesus as you grow more and more into His image. For more information about Akigawa Baptist Church, please visit akigawabc.com. Now, enjoy the sermon.
As I was preparing for today, there was a couple of phrases in our last week's study of 1 Corinthians that kind of really reminded me something about Jesus' sacrifice, and I wanted to share that with you this morning. When we were studying 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we were looking at Paul reminding us of how we are to love one another by setting aside certain things. Things that we may have the right to enjoy. But we set them aside so that we can be with those who do not have the same freedom that we do. Right? Paul closes that. He summarizes that whole concept by saying this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 33, he says this. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Paul said, I do the best that I can to set aside things that I have the right to, and I do this not so I can seek my own profit, but the profit of many. What profit was he seeking for them? What is the best thing that someone could be given? What is it? It's salvation. Nothing other than salvation. The one thing that changes not just our life here on earth, but also how we will spend eternity, right? Salvation is the most valuable, the most precious thing that you could ever have in all of your life. It is the one thing that takes the debt, the weight of the debt of sin off of your shoulders. It is the one thing that makes you not just forgiven, not just having forgiveness, but it makes you righteous, clean, set apart, holy in the eyes of the God of all things, the Holy One. God Himself sees you as a saint. What an amazing thing. Your salvation is the only thing that makes you the child of the Creator of all things. Your salvation is the one thing that makes it possible for you to live the life for which you have been made, to make it possible to accomplish the purpose for why you even exist, which is to enjoy God and to glorify Him through your faith and your obedience in Him. It is the one thing that changes the way you face death. It changes you. No longer with fear and dread do you face death, but with hope and expectation and confidence. All of these blessings and more are yours because of one thing. Salvation. Salvation. Your salvation given to you by Jesus. Is it any wonder? Is it any wonder that Paul was so gladly willing to set aside things he may eat or drink for the purpose of helping those around him, anyone around him, to find and to receive this precious gift of salvation. But here's what's more amazing, is what Paul says after this. He says in chapter 11, verse 1, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Paul said, follow me as I follow Jesus. Paul isn't pointing us to look at his sacrifice. Paul isn't saying, look at me, guys. Here's what I'm doing. Follow me. He's pointing us ultimately to Jesus' sacrifice. He's saying, don't look at me. Look at Jesus. He is the one who is willing to set aside what was rightfully his for our benefit, for the profit of many, for the salvation of many for our salvation. This is the sacrifice that we should be looking at, what we should be remembering. There are many, many things that Jesus set aside for our sakes. Many things. I could go on and on for this one, but I'm going to focus on just one of these things, his kingship. His kingship. Jesus set aside the crown of glory that was rightfully his in order to wear the crown of thorns on the cross for us. In Philippians, we see it described this way. Philippians 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Notice here, follow me as I follow Jesus. This is the same pattern. Follow Jesus. Let the mind be in you, which was also Jesus. This is what Jesus did. Follow him. Verse 6, what did he do? Who, Jesus, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Verse 7, he says, but he made himself of no reputation. He made himself. Jesus made himself. He took it upon himself to have no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant. This is Jesus doing the things, not Jesus having been done the things. Jesus offering himself. He made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And then being in the likeness of men, verse 8, being found in fashion as a man, what did he do? He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. It is hard to imagine the degree of humility that Jesus was willing to take for our sakes, is it not? It's hard to imagine that. How far Jesus was willing to humble himself for our sakes. And yet that was literally the very purpose for which he came. He came to set aside his majestic crown of glory and stoop down to pick up the crown of thorns to lay down his life for us. The amazing thing is even before, and this was planned all along, this is what Jesus came for. This was his purpose to be here on earth. Even before Jesus came to Jerusalem, where he would be crucified, he told his disciples what was going to happen. This was the plan all along. Matthew 20, verse 18. This is Jesus, before he even goes into Jerusalem, says this to the disciples. Guys, we're going up to Jerusalem. Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes. He'll be betrayed, and they shall condemn him to death. They will condemn him to death. Verse 19, they and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. And the third day, he shall rise again. Think about how Jesus actually entered Jerusalem, though. Think about how he came into Jerusalem. And if you understand the majesty with which they accepted him and welcomed him into the city, it seems like this would be the last thing that would happen. It seems like Jesus was coming as the king to overthrow Rome, to take up his throne, to become the king of Israel. It is literally what everyone expected him to do. They expected him and they welcomed him as king. They saw him feed thousands of people with just a few small fish, with just a few small loaves of bread. They had just heard about how Jesus had raised up a man who had been dead for 4 days, how he raised up Lazarus from the dead. And the news of that had spread all over the place. If there was anyone who could restore the kingdom of Israel, it is this man. And so they welcomed him as king. They expected him to take the crown of the king. John 12 says it this way. Verse 12, on the next day, much people that were come to the feast in Jerusalem, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, verse 13, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, We sang this last Sunday, Hosanna, Hosanna. This is the Hosanna. Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. They saw him and they welcomed him as king. Everyone saw him as king. Even the ones who hated Jesus, the Pharisees, the scribes, the chief priests, even those who hated Jesus seemed to have admitted defeat. Verse 19, just a few verses down. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, they're yelling at each other, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? You guys can't get anything right. Behold, the world is gone after them. They're yelling at each other. They're blaming each other. Look, can't you guys do anything? Everyone's gone after Jesus. You guys have failed. And yet, in a few short days, everything changed exactly as Jesus said it would. The same people who joyfully cried as they welcomed him, Hosanna to the King, in less than a week, when introduced Jesus as their king, instead of joyfully crying as they welcome him, would hatefully cry as they rejected him. He is no king. He is no king for us. Crucify him. We don't want him. Mark 15 describes it this way. Pilate answered and said again to them, what will ye then that I should do unto him whom ye call King of the Jews? Verse 13, they cried out again, crucify him. He is no king of ours. Only Caesar is our king, is what they said. Crucify him. He is not our king. The ones who expected Jesus to free them from the hand of the Romans now condemned Jesus to death by the hand of the Romans. And then came the mocking, the scourging that Jesus said would happen. It was like he had seen it. It was just like he had seen it, clearly seen by him, as if it had already happened. Mark 15 describes it this way, continuing on. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole band of soldiers. Verse 17. And they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it about his head. And verse 18, began to salute him. Hail, King of the Jews! Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him on the head with a reed and did spit on him. And bowing their knees, they worshipped him. Here's the mocking. Here's the scourging. Here's the beating. Instead of the crown of glory as king, this is the crown that Jesus chose. The crown of suffering and shame. As those around him mocked him, as those around him beat him and caused him such intense suffering. But it wasn't just the soldiers who mocked his kingship. It wasn't just the soldiers who said, Hail, King of the Jews, who do you think you are? It was his own people. His own people mocked him as a king. Matthew 27 describes the way that as Jesus is hanging on the cross, his own people uses his kingship as a way to despise and reject him. They said he saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. See how they use this kingship as a way to despise him, as a way to yet reject him. Jesus set aside the glory of his kingship, the glory of his crown as king of all things. He set that aside and took on the crown of suffering. And he did it willingly. He did it willingly for us. Jesus says this in John 10. This is what Jesus said. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Verse 15, Jesus is continuing to talk, and he says, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. Verse 18, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to pick it up again, to take it again. This commandment have I received from my Father, to take it up again. This is what Jesus did. 3 days after he died, 3 days, exactly as Jesus said, on his way to Jerusalem, I go to Jerusalem, I will be betrayed by the hand of the, I will be betrayed into the hand of the Pharisees and the chief priests. They will mock me, they will condemn me to death. The soldiers, the Gentiles will scourge me, they will mock me, they will crucify me. I will die, but 3 days later, I will rise again, like he had seen it all. This is what Jesus exactly did. He rose from the grave. He ascended into heaven. And now Jesus sits at the right hand of his Father, where one day God will put all things under the feet of Jesus, his Son, as the King of all creation, his rightful crown. As we look forward to that day, let's remember to look back on what Jesus was willing to do to set aside that crown that was his for our sakes, to be where we are, to walk with us, to live a life that we could not live in our own strength, a life of sinless perfection, to be in our place of judgment on the cross, to give us life and hope. This is what Jesus did in setting aside his crown of glory and exchanging it for a crown of thorns. All of that so that we could be saved. This is the most amazing exchange. The most amazing exchange. What Jesus has done for our salvation. This is what we will remember as we take the Lord's Supper, remembering the sacrifice that Jesus was willing to take in our place. We're going to pray. We're going to take some time to remember the sacrifice Jesus has made. For those of you who are watching live stream, after I pray, we will go ahead and end the live stream. And after I end the live stream, take time to remember what Jesus has done for you and thank him for it. He's worthy of your praise. He's worthy of your thanks. Remember it and praise him for it. Let's pray. Father, we come to you humbly, knowing that even this act of coming to you in prayer was given to us in no other way but through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. That we can come boldly to the throne of grace is yet one more thing, one more privilege that is ours because of the sacrifice of Jesus. Jesus, thank you. We so don't deserve it. We so thank you for what you have done for us and so freely given to us by simple faith. Simple faith. Thank you. We ask all these things and we thank you, Jesus. And it is in your name we pray this. Amen.